Blog Talk Radio.
A licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday, September 26th. Happy birthday, Dad. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Treats for Chickens. Health and happiness for your modern backyard pet chicken. Healthy pet chicken basics. Non-toxic bug relief. Treats. Organic snacks and more. All created with your backyard pet chickens in mind. At Treats for Chickens, we treat your chickens well. Find us online at treatsforchickens.com or ask for us in your local farm and feed store or favorite pet shop. That's treatsforchickens.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is hump day. Yep, it is Wednesday. We're halfway through the work week, and we thank you for joining us today. Yep, it is Wednesday. Like we always say, if you can join us every day, Monday through Friday at 12 p.m., not only will your day go by faster, but the week will go by faster, too. And next thing you know, we'll be saying it's Fun Friday. And we guarantee you a little laughs and a little bit of education along the way to boot. So thank you very much for joining us today. Today is Wednesday. It is a bonus day. It is a special edition of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. So it's a great pleasure to have him with us again today. Really, really quick before I bring him back on, let me just tell you about tomorrow's episode. You're not going to want to miss it. Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, he'll be joining us tomorrow with a great topic. Basically, it's going to be all about freezing produce for storage. How cool is that? We do this here at the homestead every season. We just got done with our big spring summer garden, and boy, did we ever put some things in the freezer. So, you know, we cut it up, we wash it, cut it up, blanch it for 3 minutes, put it in ice water, put it in the freezer storage bags, and into the freezer it goes. And we're still enjoying, and through the winter we'll enjoy beautiful squash and green beans and okra and peas and all kinds of great stuff. And that's the way we do it here. We have not yet gone down the journey of canning. We do can jellies and jams, but as far as canning meat and vegetables, we have not gone down that route yet here at the homestead. So it's one of the things we're looking at. But tomorrow's going to be a great show, freezing produce for storage. So very cool, very anxious to hear that. And then, of course, this Friday, we'll be here before you know it, another Fun Friday. We'll have tons of great prizes to give away to all of you. Now, today, Peter is going to talk a little bit, kind of an overview, because we've gone through really in detail about coccidiosis. But today will be kind of an overview about coccidiosis and any cases that he's working on recently and the main points and symptoms, things like that. He's got it all planned. But we're also going to try to keep that brief, because we haven't taken your calls or your questions in a while. And it's very interesting. I'm going to go back over to Facebook and post the phone number and say, hey, call in now with your questions and post them. And we'll have a few, of course. But it's been a while since we've taken your calls and your questions. And it's, you know, so think in your mind. Do you have any that haven't been asked in the last couple of weeks? Do you have an issue now going on at your in your backyard, at your homestead, at your farm that you have a question for Peter about? Whether it be, you know, maybe a little nutrition, maybe it's a bumblefoot, maybe it's coccidiosis, maybe it's a sneezing question. Whatever it may be, we're going to have, after we talk a little bit about coccidiosis, we're going to open the phone lines. We're going to take your phone calls, and you can post questions in the chat room. I'm ready to call, but instead of posting them in the chat room, because it moves so quick, it scrolls so fast, just send it to me private message. The way you do that is you go over to the right hand side of the chat room, all the way at the top in bold, it says Chicken Whisperer. If you actually click on that, a little box pops up, and then you'll click on private, and then another box will pop up where you can actually private message me. If it doesn't do it the first time, try it again. Sometimes it has a little glitch to it, but just click on Chicken Whisper over there on the right-hand side where it lists all the folks in the chat room. Just click on that, and then, of course, another box comes up. Click on private, and then another box will pop up, and then and you may have to try it twice. It has a glitch with me as well. I'll click private, nothing will happen. I'll have to go back and click on the person's name, and then private, and then it actually opens up. So private message me any questions you may have for Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor. I'll do my best to get them on the air, and of course, while he's talking about coccidiosis, I'll head over to the Facebook page, and we will and I'll post it there, so we can get some maybe folks that can't tune in, maybe it's blocked on their work computer. We'll be able to try to get some questions answered as well. So maybe a little shorter. We'll see how many questions we have. We want to try to get to as many as we can after coccidiosis. I think we have it planned. We both have a busy schedule today, and we're going to try to end about 1 o'clock. If it runs to 1:15, fine. We want to make sure we get these questions answered. But without further ado, we're going to go ahead and bring on Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. You can visit them online, firststatevetsupply.com, and if they don't have it, you don't need it. That's kind of our Chicken Whisper radio show logo for motto for them, one of our fans came up with.
But also, I'm going to have him tell us about, you know, we've had some technical issues. In fact, yesterday we posted on our Facebook page about this new emergency medicine kit that he's just released. Great value, just $24.95, and it has. But instead of having to buy 6 gallons of this or 7 gallons of that, it's the perfect size for an emergency kit. If you already have a first aid kit, a chicken first aid kit, this is an invaluable addition to that, because it kind of deals with medications versus maybe wound issues or things like that, or a pair of scissors or tape or you know, things like that. So it's a great addition to the first aid kit you probably and hopefully already have there. And so he's going to come on. He's going to tell us a little bit about how I think, and even on my end, I've tried it, got the glitches worked out, and you can go right there to that page and visit his store and purchase that kit. So he'll tell us about the glitches we've gotten worked out. So we'll be posting that again on our Facebook page a little later. We posted it yesterday and had little folks talking about, I forget what it was, spyware, malware, I don't know, I'm not technical. So Peter, thank you very much for joining us on the special episode on Wednesday. We appreciate it, and let's just jump right in and real briefly tell us about, hey, we think we've got all the technical difficulties worked out for that, so we can start getting some orders your way for this new product you've been working on for a while, and tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll jump right into coccidiosis.
Yeah, we do. We encountered some problems, and in actuality, and the truth of the matter is that there never was a threat to anybody from anything. When we were in the process of building this store and putting up a new one, which had to be done, the software that we were using before was not going to make upgrades to make the store more PCI compliant. And I don't want to belabor this point, but that's a new terminology over the last year or so that the credit card companies are putting on all vendors online to be PCI compliant, and they keep tightening things up and changing things. And when you do that, you got to change software, and the old software just couldn't keep up with it. So we decided to make a whole new store. So we bought a software package and worked on it for quite some time. And there's a deal where you have to migrate the new site to the old site, and I'm not sure I fully understand that. Well, not sure. I know I fully don't understand it, okay?
but me too.
Yeah, at any rate, in the meantime, while that migration thing or whatever was supposedly being done, we'd redirected. If you were going to the old site, we just redirected you to the new store, and that started this firestorm of malware, this, that, and the other thing, because Google didn't like it. So they threw up all of this stuff. And you know, the whole thing, and I understand it. I don't think I would probably go to a site that had it either, but here's my issue with Google. No phone call from them, no email saying, hey, are you guys up to something? Or, you know, because we put in an order for all this to be moved and whatever. And so they should have been aware of it. But anyway, you know, no notice from them. You just put this out there and literally just, you know, for all intents and purposes, kill somebody's business for no reason at all. There was no,
I know.
None whatsoever. You know.
Well, see, it wouldn't even let me. A lot of times over the years I've seen a pop-up like that, and it'll say, get me out of here, like this one said, or tell me why tell me why this is an issue. And then it has a little button that says ignore this. And it would not even let me, even when I clicked ignore this or this is, I know this is not an issue, I would click any button to try to get to ignore that warning and get to your site, and it still would not let me get there. There was no bypass like some of them have, like ignore this or continue to the site. I tried that, and it still wouldn't let me get there. So you can imagine the frustration.
Yep.
Of potential customers that wanted to get this new kit that was released, and then your frustration, because you would hear from me. Of course, we talked about it Monday on the radio show, and then when I posted it again, we still had issues. So, but now, no matter what I've tried, I've actually gotten straight to the homepage of your site. So that is promising.
Yeah, we did hear from them after us doing some wrangling on our end. You know, we did hear from them because you have to submit some nonsense to them. You know, I guess more or less to prove that you are who you are and all that kind of stuff. But it took 4 days to get that accomplished, and we did hear from them, you know, this morning. And as a matter of fact, the webmaster called me right after I got up this morning and said, you know, it's all straightened out and this and that, because he went around and went through Mozilla, Firefox. I don't even use these things, so I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. But, you know, Internet Explorer and all of them. And then we went to old links that were from the old store where it might talk about a product online. You've all seen them. You all know what I'm talking about, but I don't. And you'd click on that, and it would take you to the old store. Now those are all legitimate and where they were before, but it's going to take you to the front page of the new store. So hopefully we've got it all behind us. Anybody that has an issue still, I just would like to know so that we can continue to try to mitigate any problems. But as of right now, there shouldn't be any problem whatsoever. Never really was, except with right. Google themselves. Like I said, this system runs on its own box. It's cost me a ton of money over the years just to maintain it that way, because that's the webmaster and is pretty tight on all of these things. He's always on my neck about passwords and all these other things. So we do watch it very, very closely. I'm proud of the fact that our site has never, ever, ever, ever been hacked. That doesn't mean it can't be done, but the chances of it being done are going to be pretty slim. And, when you don't have a whole bunch of everybody else's stuff running on there, if they're trying to hack somebody else's stuff, they might get into yours by itself. So, a lot of these companies that are online, especially your bigger companies, you know, there's a server farm somewhere that's got
right.
thousands of servers, and, you know, they're in the mix. We're not like that. You know, we're totally different.
It's got to be definitely detrimental. I mean, it's your storefront, so you can imagine store being closed for 4 days. Technically, what would it end up being? Nobody could walk when the door was locked. We couldn't get in, you know, for 4 days. It's got to be disappointing.
Yep, very disappointing. And, you know, I do rely heavily on the internet sales, for the company anyway. But that being as it is, we're up and everything's, running. If you want to call it legitimate, go ahead and call it that. But it always has been. There's never been a problem. It's one of those technical things that I don't even understand. Don't care to understand it. That's why I pay other people to take care of that crap. But at any rate, it's up and going. You can go there. I guarantee it to be secure. I don't know what else to say to people about it. The other thing is the kit, from my perspective, is an awesome product. I'm really proud of it. I might have over-engineered it maybe a little bit with the number of products that are in it. But you can mitigate an awful lot of problems with just that small 10 products that are in that kit. And I know there are probably somebody saying, well, I don't need this, I don't need that. But from what
we've seen, maybe not today.
Oh, yeah, that's what I feel. not today, but, if you're raising chickens, the day will come. You know, I had this conversation with a hatchery owner today, and I said, misconception of a lot of folks that get into chickens for the first time is that, you buy them from the hatchery and you put them in the backyard and you throw out a little feed and some scraps and away they go, and, everything is, hunky-dory. Doesn't necessarily end up that way, and the majority of the times it doesn't. I'm helping a couple of folks right now who have gotten into the backyard thing and are experiencing some minor difficulties, but just had no idea that all of these anomalies can come up and cause grief. And I think the biggest thing sometimes that I deal with too is I think people are really taken back by the fact that, and we've talked about on this show till the cows came home, medicating your chickens and then eating the eggs. They're just blown away by that fact. And I know, a zillion people do it, and that's fine. But we all know what the rules and regulations are and so on. But that's probably one of the biggest surprise things from most people, and I feel very obligated to tell people that. As soon as they tell me they're eating the eggs, we stop the conversation. I go into my diatribe on how you're supposed to do it and everything else. And they all laugh. They say, are you kidding? I say, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to work. And, hire a veterinarian and let him have control of the flock and so on and so forth. But anyway, I think it's a great group of products that have been put together for this kit. The directions are detailed. The directions will give you symptomology. In other words, it'll say some respiratory symptoms might be this, and that'll be listed under that particular product that pertains to that. If it has a dual role, it will tell you that. If it can be used in conjunction with something else, it will tell you that. And basically, in some of them, I just where it was appropriate, I just said, you know, use the label directions. Each product has its own basic label directions on it. So it's.
Can you? We had a request in the chat room. again, want to get to coccidiosis and then take some calls. But since we're talking about this, and I think it's pertinent, I think it's important. Again, briefly, first they asked what was in the kit. I posted the link to the kit in the chat room so they can see what's in the kit.
Sure.
But they had a special request. If you could just kind of briefly go down the list of what's in it and say, okay, oxine's in it, and you could use this for this and that.
Yeah, sure.
I'll
read it right off because I just printed out some of the final directions. I keep tweaking them and changing them around a little bit. But, yeah, as it opens up, it's going to say emergency medication kit directions. And the first product is Ampril. And I'll just read it right off the sheet. It says, use to control coccidiosis. May be used in birds producing eggs for human consumption without any withdrawal time. This product will only work in the bird's intestines, and it will specifically for coccidiosis only. Follow directions for mixing on the bottle. Some symptoms of coccidiosis might be blood in the droppings, not present in all cases of coccidiosis, ruffled feathers, acting chilled, falling asleep, standing up, and unwillingness to move. I think that says it all. And it tells you that product is specific. So if you're trying to use it for some other reason, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your product, and you're not helping your birds. Wazine, 34%. This is twice as strong as anything you buy in a Tractor Supply. Okay? And I did it for that reason, because I can give you a small amount of it. You're going to get about 4 ounces of it, and you're only going to use about a tablespoon of it. So you'll have many uses out of that one particular bottle. It's very long dated. I believe this one is 2016, the dating on it. But anyway, piperazine-based roundworm wormer will not remove tapeworms, scapeworms, or capillary worms. Follow the directions on the bottle. Some symptoms of worms might be the presence of worm eggs in the droppings, the presence of mature or immature worms in the bird's droppings. Immature worms may look white to opaque white and be short in length. And mature worms will be the same color, but will be much thicker in diameter and longer in length. Again, ruffled feathers and unwillingness to move. Droppings may appear white or milky white and runny, and some may appear green and have green chunks in them. Worm infestations may be confused with the symptoms of coccidiosis, as they are similar in many ways. Then we move on to sulfur dimethoxine, 12.5% solution. Used for a number of poultry ailments, mainly to control coccidiosis and intestinal bacterial problems. This is a sulfa drug, and label directions should be followed to the letter. Use this product for no more than 5 days maximum. Can be used in conjunction with Oxitet concentrate excuse me, to help control respiratory issues. Some symptoms of coccidiosis, says the Ampril directions, and it says respiratory symptoms may be runny nose, swollen face, rattle, and conjunctivitis. Intestinal symptoms may be watery diarrhea, bright green droppings, and white to white watery diarrhea. Then we move on to oxine. Best all-around disinfectant. Works by changing pH. It makes it hard for the viruses and bacteria to survive. May be used in birds' drinking water as labeled on the bottle. May be used with nasal flushing. See separate directions attached for this type of usage. Do not use with medications and do not use in the presence of probiotics. That would be counterproductive because it's an antibacterial. Probiotics are a friendly gut bacteria, and it would negate them and wipe them out, so
uh-huh.
no point in using it. Probiotic to be used and mixed as per label directions during times of stress or after the use of medications. Contains live cultures of gut-friendly bacteria designed to repopulate the intestines with healthy bacteria, providing good gut flora. It works by producing acid and competing for space on the gut wall. Makes it difficult for the bad bacteria to set up shop and cause disease. Since approximately 70% of the bird's immune cells reside in the intestinal tract, it only makes good sense to protect the intestinal tract from damage and maintain a healthy gut and bird. Replimin liquid with iron. This product consists of a group of trace minerals that are attached to a readily absorbed amino acid compound. This process is called chelation. It makes the minerals readily available to the bird system, providing quick relief from mineral deficiencies, administered as per label directions. 4, fertility and hatchability problems that may be nutritionally related, eggshell strength or quality problems may be used to help stimulate the onset of egg production that may be caused by the lack of nutrition due to disease problems. This product may be used in conjunction with A-lite amino acid concentrate and VitaPro B vitamins. We've done that on the show. Turmeric. This product has been proven ability to enhance the bird's immune system. Birds that are consuming turmeric have a significantly higher immune cell count than those birds that are not consuming turmeric. Should be used in small amounts on a daily basis or as much as the birds will tolerate without backing away from the feed. Now, there are directions on the bottle, and they're right out of the research, and they're hard to follow just because they say a percentage of the feed. Put this on, start out putting a little bit on the feed and keep moving it up until you start to see them back away from it. If they start back away from it, dilute it with a little bit of fresh food because of the taste of the spice itself. But it is a tremendous product, and it does work, and it does have history in numerous trials on birds to prove that it does work in that fashion. Oxytetracycline concentrate, powerful oxytetracycline-based water-soluble antibiotic used primarily as a respiratory antibiotic. Use and follow directions for mixing on the bottle label. Some respiratory symptoms might be runny nose, sneezing, coughing, swollen head, especially around the eyes, rattle, wheezing, and conjunctivitis, swollen and irritated membranes of the eye. A-lite amino acid concentrate. This product consists of multiple amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of all proteins. They, along with vitamins and minerals, are essential for life. The lack of key amino acids, vitamins, or minerals will have a severe effect on the bird's ability to grow, produce, reproduce, and live. This product may be used in conjunction with VitaPro B vitamins and Replimin liquid with iron. This combination has been found to be extremely helpful in clearing fertility, hatchability, egg production, growth, and feathering problems associated with nutritional deficiencies. Follow the directions on the bottle. VitaPro B vitamins. This product is a heavily concentrated group of vitamins, minerals, and electrolytes that does include a probiotic compound. Do not use this vitamin compound or any other vitamin compound when treating with Ampryl or Coryd for coccidiosis, as this is counterproductive to do so. The point being there that Ampryl works by tying up thymine. There's no sense putting a product in that has thymine in it, making it more difficult. So that's why you wouldn't use it, okay? You use it after, but it's not a problem. Just don't want to use it during, okay? So we give them all that information there. Best uses for this product are in periods of stress, such as vaccinating, handling, and moving, showing health-related or nutritional-related issues. May be used in conjunction with Replimin liquid iron, A-lite amino acid concentrate. Follow the directions that are on the bottle. And then I go into the last couple of pages. The nasal flushing using the Oxine is pretty simple. It's there in black and white, and certain things are highlighted in red give you an idea that that's something that's important that you need to, keeping the bird's mouth open, head down, so the water comes out the mouth and goes away from the bird, and you don't aspirate the bird and that kind of thing. But that being said, I think it's probably, I know it is one of the best kits ever put out there, because there isn't any out there that I know of, and to come with explicit detailed directions. I know I went through them pretty quick, but
super. And I had just posted in the chat room that this is great information, and here's the key: you will not get this info buying from, say, a big box vet store. We know who we're talking about. We know they're out there, and so all this information that he just gave you, no matter what you buy from First State, those specific directions for your backyard flock are included. So if, what is that worth to you versus, it's just amazing information. There are a lot of comments in the chat room about this information that comes with the kit. I mean, it's just, there's no guesswork. It's just, okay, well, it's all right here. This is why I need to use this. Here are the symptoms. And so my birds have this, the whole nine yards. So you're just not going to get this anywhere else.
Yeah, and the design of it is it all comes in its own box. So it's not like you're going to get one box and there's 10 things and 14 pages of directions floating around in a box. You can get this all in one box, and you can mark it on the outside however you want, and you know it's in one place. The box is white, so you can at least pick it out from the rest of the crowd. And, it's there until you need it. And all of the earliest, the shortest dated product in there is 2014. I believe it's July. So, that's the best I could do on that particular product. But everything else, Yeah, and we only make up, you know, a dozen or two of these at a time, and as we go through product and whatever comes in new is usually has a better expiration date, so we're always working on that and cognizant of that fact. If I ever have to ship something to somebody that is really, really short-dated, I would always replace it with something else, because the whole idea of this thing is to have it around when you need it. I can't tell you how many times over the course of my career, you know, I say to people, well, what do you have? Nothing. You know, and that doesn't help them. It doesn't help me. It certainly doesn't help the birds. So I think this is a great, you know, addition to the product line that we already have. And I'm working on, like I said, after the first of the year, I'm working on having some organic type stuff that we have brought into play here, and directions for all of that kind of stuff. Be kind of along the same lines. But there won't be any antibiotics in it. Maybe some of the same products, because some of these are natural as well. So just kind of take a look at it. See what you think. Any feedback from anybody? Anybody that buys it and gets the directions says, huh, I want to know. If you've got a better idea, you got something you think should be in the kit, something, you know. I'm open, you know, to anything. But this is stuff that we've all talked about on the show numerous times. You know, and I think the biggest deal about it all is that the explanation of what it is, what it does, symptoms, you just don't get that anywhere, period.
Right. No, nowhere.
Yeah. And that's what brings us to the coccidiosis thing, really. I've dealt with several cases of it this week, and part of the issue that I have with a lot of this stuff is just what we are talking about, and I don't. It just happens to be coincidence that we talked about this kit, and now we're going to do a little review here quickly of the coccidiosis thing. But you know, I had been contacted by an individual who was experiencing some problems with coccidiosis. There were multiple ones. It just wasn't but this one comes to mind, and they had bought a particular product somewhere else. And thought they were using a particular amount of this particular product, and you know, lo and behold, it wasn't, and didn't have the right concentration, having all kinds of problems, you know, with coccidia. So I just wanted to go over a couple things you can do. There is a lot of resistance to the Ampryl and or the Corid, and I'll go back over the Ampryl and the Corid are the same thing. The Corid is a cattle product. It usually comes if you get the powder, it comes in a red and white bag. The Ampryl is usually in a blue and white bag. And if they're in bottles, it's the same thing. One's blue and white, one's red and white. The base ingredient is Amprolium. So there is no difference between the two. The difference between the liquid on either side of it is that the liquid, the powder rather, is twice as strong as the liquid. The liquid is 9.6% Amprolium, and the powder at 20%. So when you look at the liquid, at least on my website, at $16.95, and then you look at the powder at $22.95, you'll go, well, I'll buy the liquid for $16.95. Well, you're getting half as much, and that's okay. You know, people, you know, we did discuss this one time before,
right,
about vitamins, you know, the concentration of things. And you put something out there concentrated for $9.95, and there's another one over here that's a 6-ounce package versus a 4-ounce package, and you say, well, this is only $4.50, but the $4.50 one only has maybe a quarter of what's in the other one.
Right.
So it's a numbers game. I think this is funny. I heard this on my way to cardio rehab this morning. I just thought this was absolutely funny and indicative of the kind of society that we've become. But to make people feel good, and I didn't even know this was going on, the sizes of your clothes have actually changed, according to this reporter this morning, so that when you go to the store, a size 4 now used to be a size 0 back in the 70s. And so they're making these changes to make people feel good. I said to myself, are you nuts? You know, I just don't get it. But so it's kind of like the same thing. You know, the people don't understand that concentrate is going to take you further down the road than the regular run-of-the-mill, mm-hmm. You know, 4-ounce bag.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this person had bought some product, didn't come with directions, flying by the seat of their pants, and when we really looked at it at the end of the day, they were using about one-third as much as what they should have been using, and scratching their head wondering why they weren't getting anywhere. But there is enough resistance to the Amprol and or Corid products in the real world. And we're not left with a whole bunch of products these days to combat this. We used to have sulfaquinoxalin, which is probably the harshest sulfa drug that's out there. But to my knowledge now, it's no longer available. It was kicked around for a while, taken off the market. Salisbury Laboratories, a lot of people that remember that company would have known it as Sulquin 650. And because it was harsh, you could only use it two or three days in a row. Then you had to back off for two or three days and then come back with it for a couple of days. And therein lies the problem with most medications of that type. And therein lies the problem with most sulfa drugs as well. Most sulfa drugs can't be used beyond 5 days. To use a sulfa drug beyond 5 days, you start playing with the possibility then of irreversible kidney damage. So they can be used sparingly, but they can't be used on a long-term basis. And I know there's somebody somewhere that has used it more than 5 days or more than 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, you're lucky. Then the other one we have would be Solmet. I've never sold Solmet. I don't like Solmet. Won't sell Solmet. I've had requests to get it. I won't. I just don't believe in the product. I sell the sulfadimethoxine, and people say to me lots of times, well, why don't you sell the powder instead of the liquid? Because the liquid has very succinct directions, whereas the powder does not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A little tip for most people, if you get a product and you want to use it by the label directions, and it says to take this package and put it into 128 gallons of water, you could, if you wanted to, most people don't because they don't want to mix it all up, but you could take that package and dilute it in 1 gallon of water, which would be 128 ounces, and then take 1 ounce of that and put it in a gallon of water, and you'd be right on the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple situation to cure that. Most others, you can do the same thing. You can figure it out. It's not overly difficult. But that being said, then we're left with the sulfadimethoxine, which, in my opinion, is a good sulfa, does a good job. So I like to rotate the two around. Now, one of the things you can do to help yourself, and these are little tips you learn as you go along, but the problem with coccidiosis is it's in the bird's droppings. So therefore, you can't hardly ever keep the bird away from its droppings.
Mm-hmm.
And the more concentrated the droppings, the bigger the problem. And then the other two factors that generally come into play are heat and moisture. The oocysts, which are causing the coccidia, just love to be in the warmth, and they love the moisture, and then they grow like crazy. So what I suggested here the other day when I dealt with this particular problem was some of these birds were still in the brooder, and I said that it would be wise to get them out of the brooder just as soon as, you know, the weather would allow. I wouldn't take birds that at this time of the year. We've been having some really cool nights here, which suits me just fine, but for young birds being out on their own, just coming out of a brooder, it's not necessarily, it can be a little harsh, and so I didn't want to start one problem and fix one problem, start another. But as soon as you can get them out of the brooder, I know a lot of people leave birds in a brooder way beyond the point where they should be. The droppings start to build up, and then problems start to come in from that. So I would get them out of the brooder as quick as I could, within reason. In the meantime, if you see an issue within the brooder, wet areas where the water is, and if the water's been spilled and there's a lot of wet feed, or sometimes at night the birds will all huddle together a little bit and all be in the same spot, and then they'll defecate in the same spot. I wouldn't clean the whole brooder out, but I would take that particular wet area out. And the reason I wouldn't clean that whole brooder out is that you're taking away any of the coccidia that's in the litter already, that the birds might build some immunity to, especially if they're on a medicated feed, which is usually medicated with Ampril. Okay, so you might be doing the birds more of a disservice by taking away something that's going to expose them, because that's the design of it. It's supposed to expose them a little bit. The Ampril keeps it in check. They build some natural immunity, and everybody's happy at the end of the day. And in most cases, it works out that way. But when you have these other issues, the heat, the moisture, and I all know, you know, we've all got, you know, very busy lives as a general rule. If it isn't kids and business and trying to make a living, it's trying to take care of chickens and trying to squeeze everything together and make it all work. But the quicker you get these kinds of situations taken care of, the better off you're going to be, and the healthier your chickens are going to be, and the less money you'll spend on medications. And one of my favorite sayings is that, you know, dead birds don't pay bills. They just don't. I mean, it's that way. And you know, the commercial poultry industry spends billions of dollars a year trying to control this within their own flocks. They use medications that you can't get your hands on as a general rule, because they don't want coccidia at all, because of its performance-sapping ability. I mean, if you know, left unchecked, those that have seen active cases of coccidia that have actually killed a bird without their knowledge, and then they found out later what it, you know, what killed it, it's ugly. You know, these birds, you know, they may feather out and look decent, but they haven't got an ounce of meat on them. They're just all skin and bones. It looks like something that came out of a Nazi concentration camp.
Right.
You know, and so it's a very debilitating disease. And then we can look at it from another standpoint. You know, we look at this thing with these birds. The intestine has about 70% of the intestine has the immune cells of one sort or another. Damage to the intestine, damage usually to the immune cells as well. So we open ourselves up to other problems besides just coccidiosis, and then you roll out the checkbook and really start spending some money, or you have to put a whole bunch of birds down. I would say over the life of my career so far that coccidiosis by far is number one, the most misunderstood disease, and has probably caused more mortality than all of the other diseases in a backyard setting combined. It's misunderstood because of the fact that people are told medicate with medicated feed and your problems go away. Some cases they do, and more cases they don't. The fact that, you know, even here years ago when Frank Perdue was first getting started, you know, his big deal was, you know, you don't even have to be home to get chickens. Just, you know, have your chicken house ready and we'll come and put them in. And they did. It didn't last very long, but they did, because then, you know, the message that they were sending to the growers, well, they grow on their own. You don't need to be around. So just,
right.
You know, and this is what was happening. And, you know, now if you're not home, you don't get chickens, period. But this is the kind of thing that is out there, and it's extrapolated over into the backyard setting in some instances, not all. And so coccidiosis is a big problem. I just want to go back over it again. I don't think it hurts to drive some of these points home. But coccidia is host specific. I want to go over that because people call me and say, "Oh my God, my dog gave it, and he runs with the chickens, and my dog gave it to the chickens." No. Doesn't happen that way. You picked it up somewhere where I have no idea. It's not even from the free-flying birds, because they've got their own. Turkeys have their own. Guinea hens have their own. Rabbits have their own. Dogs, cats, humans, cows, sheep, pigs, all have their own species of coccidia that are host-specific. So that's the way it is. So it's not going to be spread that way. So but there are, you know, depending on what literature you read, and the literature sometimes can be foolish. I've had people, you know, say they want, you know, a vaccine that covers all of the strains of coccidia, and what they've done over the years, they've adjusted it down. I think there's the vaccine we're selling now, I think, covers like eight or so of the species. And that's because they never see the other one. You know, when you do laboratory analysis, they pick up stuff and they look at it and they say, well, this was present, that was present. How many times did they actually see it? Same thing for coryza. People say, well, I don't have coryza because I don't have the stink. But, you know, the literature has always shown that the stink never came from coryza directly. It was always a secondary bacterial infection. So minus a secondary bacterial infection, it's quite possible to have coryza without the stink. So it's all these little things that get started out there that are hard to put them down and get people thinking, you know, outside the box a little bit. You could almost tell with coccidia, almost tell, you know, what kind you have and where it's located in the bird's intestine. Not always, but you can tell by the onset of it, the age. Some of it is early onset, some of it 4 or 5 weeks of age, some a little bit earlier, some cause blood, some don't, that kind of thing. Certainly, you open a bird up, you can pretty much tell, unless the whole intestine all the way through is loaded with coccidia. They live in specific parts, each different species. They don't really commingle. It's kind of a segregated neighborhood, so to speak. They don't live one on top of another. They live in specific areas of the intestine, and some of them are pretty nasty. Some of them really, really just do a number on the intestine. One that comes to mind and will be in my book is the cecal pouch coccidiosis, called bloody cecal coccidiosis is one of the terms that it's been called. And, I mean, it's just ugly. It's just loaded with blood and muck and dried blood and coagulated blood and blood that's running and everything else. It's a wonder they even stay alive. But some of these can be very, very, very nasty. And all species of coccidia start with the term emeria, E-M-E-R-I-A. And that's why you see a lot of times you'll see it abbreviated as E period and then the actual species of it or type of coccidia after that. So like I say, there's 8, 9, 10, but there are maybe 5, 6 or so that are real bad actors and real tough. And they're the ones that are out there. They're the ones that cause the mortality in these birds. Acervulina, Nacatrix, Tenella, Maxima, and Brunetti come to mind. Those particular group of coccidia are the most brutal on a bird's intestine. So that, you know, that's what it does. And we talked about it in times past about the fact of the villi being cut off, basically, and being destroyed from the lining of the intestine, which then doesn't allow the food to be slowed down enough to have enough absorption of the nutrients take place through the intestinal wall. And, you know, basically what you end up then is a bird that's eating but starving to death. It's kind of a catch-22 type thing. Spreads, you know, by infected birds, here's another thing to keep in mind, and this is equally important. I buy some birds from Andy, and Andy buys some birds from me. Andy has two of the species of coccidia that I just recommended, or not recommended, but talked about, and then I've got two, but I don't have the same two Andy has, and Andy doesn't have the same two I have, but now he's got birds that have it, and I've got birds that have his. Your birds that you have, that you've immunized in your flock, are not protected against the new guys coming in. And this is one of the hardest things to make people understand, that when you bring birds in, you're bringing whatever headache was on the other farm, whether a person makes you aware of it ahead of time or not. And so the main ways of spread are by passing birds around from one person to another, contaminated litter, equipment. You know, there's some talk about it being in free-flying birds. I've never seen the real evidence of that. They get blamed for everything. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they start saying that they're spreading syphilis around or some other thing, wouldn't surprise me. But if you can't figure it out, it's got to be the free-flying birds. It's their fault. But basically, that's what you're going to see with coccidiosis. I think it's a reasonable thing to go over. Again, the medication, the Ampril, if you're going to use the liquid, you want to use about 10 cc's or 2 teaspoons in a gallon of water. If you're going to use the powder, you want to use about a teaspoon in a gallon of water. And you want to run that out at least 5 to 7 days. The good thing about the Ampril type product is if there may be some validity, and we've had some success here. When I say that, I've told people to use it at a higher dose, and they've been more successful than at some lower doses. I would not hesitate if I had birds that were having problems with coccidia. I wouldn't hesitate to go to three teaspoons or so of the liquid and a teaspoon and a half to 2 teaspoons of the powder. If it stops it, fine. It isn't going to do anything. People say, well, you know, isn't going to tie up the thymus. Yeah, but for a short period of time. It's not going to be detrimental to the bird to that point. The coccidia will be more detrimental, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that will take them out in a heartbeat. I'd rather deal with a thymine deficiency in a bird than I would the coccidiosis any day of the week. Certainly, if you were having a problem not getting anywhere with the Ampril cord type products, then I would certainly move off to the sulfadimethoxine, and I think you'll see that whip it into shape real good. And so if you're medicating and doing it properly and you're keeping the pen relatively dry and keeping out the large accumulation of droppings that can come around feeders, waterers, and where the birds roost or rest at night. And the other thing is due diligence. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said, yeah, I thought that bird didn't look good yesterday and is dead today or close to it, yesterday was the day to act, not today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, great that you're doing something now that you've really recognized it, but again, that 5-gallon bucket sitting in the yard observing your birds or sitting up on the porch in your rocking chair with
yep.
a cup of coffee or whatever it is, just observing them. And, you know, most folks know their birds by heart for the most part. And, you know, you look out in the yard and Molly looks like she's having a tough time. She's having a tough time. And it's just not a bad day, you know, as a general rule. So it's time to go out and pick Molly up and give her a check over, you know.
And to put in a shameless plug, like you just said, today's the day, not tomorrow, which
That's
means
right.
if today's the day and you think, oh, you know what, I guess I need to go ahead and order that emergency medicine kit,
yep.
and you order it today, he fulfills it tomorrow, and then 2 days later you get it, it may be too late.
Yep.
So
yep.
just like with chicken first aid kits, you know, you may have a chicken first aid kit for the what-ifs in your backyard, and same thing with this. He doesn't look good today. That's okay. I can treat it today because I have this emergency medicine kit that I got from Peter. Peter, great information about coccidiosis, and as always, a great overview. I've got the questions literally lining up across my computer screen.
Okay, let's
so,
do it.
Let's go ahead and you know what? I'm going to go real quick to a commercial break and let our sponsors tell everybody hello. When we come back. I've got some on Facebook. I've got some from the chat room. And we'll definitely answer as many of those as we possibly can today on the radio show. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this talking with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, our special guest today. Special episode this Wednesday, Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. And Peter, you're back live with us. I've already seen two comments in the chat room that they have during the show ordered the emergency medicine kit. So hopefully I'll try to post it on Facebook a little later, and we'll get some more, I'm sure, after the show's over, rolling your way. So let me hit some of these questions here. And I know we want to be as detailed as we can, but we've got a lot to answer here. Let's see. Jessica asks, my rooster is limping. Checked him over. No bumblefoot. Not a thing wrong on the outside. It is a little red, but nothing else. What could this be?
Well, the question would be, where is it red? And I think that sometimes you have to stand and or sit and watch the bird walk in order to see, you know, or get a line on where it's coming from. Sometimes you'll if you'll watch, you'll see them. When they go to put their foot down, they gingerly put it down. That means, not always, but it means more than likely it's coming from the foot or the foot pad. If there's redness in the foot pad, that's not normal as a general rule. Hard to say exactly. Bumblefoot comes from an abrasion. This doesn't necessarily mean any kind of deep cut, puncture, wound, or anything else. Certainly those are part of the problem and do cause these things, but generally it's a scrape somewhere or something like that. It's also possible that there is a problem further up in the leg, and that is extremely hard to determine exactly what's going on. What I would do if the bird were mine, I would pick it up, re-examine the foot, I would examine and watch the bird very, very closely, maybe over a period of a day or two, you know, that you have to, because you have to wait for that one symptom that's going to tip you off as to what's going on. I would certainly pick the bird up, handle it, move the leg around gently and see if the bird, you know, it becomes uncomfortable or cries out or whatever when you're moving the leg. Barring that, there is anything you can do till it shows itself somewhere along the line.
Okay.
If that person would like to send me an email if further symptoms develop, I would be glad to work with them on that issue.
Okay. Okay. She just responded. I had sent her back a message. Where was it read? And she says on the back of the leg. So, but I'll have her email you if she has.
So another thing comes to mind too. Then, if it's on the back of the leg,
mm-hmm.
okay, then we have to try to look at it. You know, is this a problem with scaly leg mites? I've seen that many, many times. People
mm-hmm.
thought they had a foot infection, and it's the beginning of scaly leg mites. So, you know, they might want to take a look at trying to mitigate that in that way and see what's going on. But, you know, if she wants to keep in touch with an email or something, I'll be glad to help her, and I'm not going to charge anybody to do that. It's I like the hunt of it, too, as well. Yeah.
Very good. Let's see. Okay, Catherine from the chat room asked, I have 4 barred rocks. 1 hen's legs and feet are larger than the other. Same body size, let's see, to toes. I have checked her for bumblefoot since I got her in March. Her feet are soft and show no pain. Could this be a problem or not? So one hen's legs and feet are larger than the other 3 chickens.
It could be a problem. Then again, it might not. These are anomalies that happen that don't have a set of symptoms that jump out and say, you know, this is what I am. What I would do there, we could look at, I don't know what she's talking about as far as the, you know, I mean, I can picture it in my mind. So when your mind starts to look at it, you know, am I looking at a foot that's, you know, 2 or 3 times the size of the others? You know, is it a problem with gout? That's a possibility. Is the bird, got another one? Is this another one that's the beginning of scaly leg mite? I don't know. If she would like to send me some pictures of the birds that don't have the problem, it certainly could be a genetic problem, and then send me a picture of the bird that does have the problem. You know, together we can at least put it together and take a look at it and say, well, you know, it might be just one of those things, again, that you have to wait and see if anything develops. It may be a genetic thing. Just because they're all barred rocks doesn't mean that they're all going to be, you know, genetically exactly the same. That's why, you know, people in the show circuit you know, eliminate birds that don't have the traits that they want, and they all came from the same parents.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, same thing there. If the bird doesn't appear to be in pain, that's one thing. You know, could it develop into something? Yeah, it could, and it may never, but not enough to go on to give a definitive answer one way or another. It could be genetic. It may not be. But, you know, again, if I can take a look at a picture of it, I could render an opinion one way or another.
Okay, very good. And let's see, the next one here from Christmas Chick in the chat room. Peter Brown, I have a question. My chickens do not have any problem with lice or mites, but I keep seeing people on forums posting about dusting their chickens with 7 dust. Is this safe? I'm concerned because it's a poison, and are the eggs safe after using it?
Ah, jeez. Well, I can have some answers there that this is a little easier to answer.
Uh-huh.
7 dust is not good for you, and it's not good for your chickens. And I don't care what anybody says on any forum, anywhere. Let me just say this to you. It used to be used very heavily in the commercial poultry industry for controlling darkling beetles. These are beetles that get in the litter and they eat this insulation, and they carry disease. The chickens love them, but they're not good for them. They get sick and so on. And so it was used very, very heavily within that industry. they have stopped. Not for because they've got something that's so much better. They do have products, obviously, that have come along over the years that are better. The health issues that came with it. If you're using this stuff on your birds, you're subject to a very volatile product. And are the eggs safe? Well, my feeling is that if that stuff is in that hen house and there are eggs in there, either when they're being dusted or after, the dust is still hanging around, the residue is around, the inside of the egg might be okay, but it still could certainly possibly be on the outside. And I would almost put money on it that if it was swabbed and looked at in a laboratory setting, you would find that there's plenty of it on the outside. There are so many other things that you can use that are going to be better off than that particular product. That is one of the ones. That's about as bad as using Black Leaf 40. And Black Leaf 40 was a staple many, many years ago. Nicotine sulfate, put too much nicotine sulfate on the end of your hands and get it on your sandwich, you could have a heart attack from it. So, sometimes, and this goes back again to some of the things we talk about, and I know this is not a natural product. We talk about natural things being good for you. You have to pick and choose, and this is not a good choice. I would, if you're worried about egg contamination and egg issues, I highly recommend the poultry protector sprays.
Mm-hmm. All natural.
Yep,
using
all
enzymes.
Natural. They work. If it didn't work today, you can use it again tomorrow. You can get it all over you. You could give the bird a bath in it. The bird could drink a little bit of it, although I don't necessarily recommend they drink it, but it's not going to hurt them, okay? It's an enzyme-based product, works by the enzyme, destroying the outside of the cuticle of the insect that you want to dispose of. They're exposed to the atmosphere, and then they die. Totally different methodology of doing it. No withdrawal times, no nothing, environmentally safe. You could spill it all over outside and not have to worry about it. I sell a lot of different stuff, but more and more I've recommended this particular product, and it will be in our lineup of products that we highly recommend for the natural side of things when we get after that program in January, February. But look, people do all kinds of things, okay, and it's one of the main reasons I stay off the boards, because some things just irritate me, and I can't keep my mouth shut, so I just stay off of there.
And it's a losing battle. I do my part. You've seen my post about, blog tips, beware of this, beware of that. Hey, Twinkies cure cancer because Twinkies prevent cancer because I eat a Twinkie every day and don't have it.
Yep.
So, it's just, and some of the stuff, hey, I'll tell you this, God's honest truth. I was talking to a sponsor just this week, and they pulled their sponsorship from a forum because of the crap that she saw that was going on the forum. It wasn't the forum's fault, but just the horrid stories that people were recommending, people with 2 years experience, and now they're posting stuff like they're an expert, and she removed her ad and everything from that forum because of it. It made her sick.
Yeah. I like to err on the side of caution, certainly if I don't know anything about something, like these two questions prior to this, I don't know, I can't see the bird, I can't handle the bird, I'll get the feedback from these people. If they want to, they can send me emails, pictures, and everything else, and together, collectively, we'll try to make a decision as to whether there's a real problem here, is it a genetic problem, whether we'll get the answer or not, I don't know. And I think that's about all you can do is be honest with everybody. Instead of saying, buy this medication, and then it doesn't work, then where does it leave you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If we need, and everybody else knows that's listened to this show long enough, in many cases, I'll send you the damn stuff. I'm as interested in it as you are if it works,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'll send it free in many, many cases. So, it's just one of those things, and you can't have an answer for everything, although I do believe that if you look hard enough and dig hard enough, that there are answers to most things in life. And that's just my perspective on it. And I search that out every day. So,
let's see here. Here's a really good one from Pamela in the chat room. please ask the chicken doctor if a hatchery offers vaccines for coccidiosis. Again, if a hatchery offers vaccines for coccidiosis, is it a good idea or not for the small backyard farmer with a small flock to get them when they order their chicks.
Okay. Let's deal with that one because I sell one of the vaccines. If you've never had a problem with coccidiosis, my answer would be no. If you're not spending a lot of money on medications and mortality and morbidity and those kinds of things, no, don't need it. On the other hand, if you're having all kinds of problems with it, maybe so. The drawback to the vaccine is this. You can't use a medicated starter. So therefore, before you get your chicks vaccinated, you have to find a place where you can get non-medicated starter. And in a lot of places, it's not doable. Okay? That being said, if you have other birds that have not been vaccinated, now what do you do with them? You know, my interpretation of it would be, the way I would do it, is I would medicate those birds pretty heavily, and then I would come right back and vaccinate them and replace the field strain with the vaccination strain, which is much milder, and then you've got everybody on the same page. But it still is not going to mitigate the fact that, you know, if you want to use a vaccine, I would suggest, and not because I sell it, because trust me, if you want to buy it from me, fine. If you want to get them done there and do it the way I'm suggesting, that's fine. But if the birds were mine and I really felt I wanted to vaccinate, I would probably get the vaccine and do it myself. And that's me. But certainly you could get them from the hatchery. What I would want to know from the hatchery is what strains of coccidia are in it, because mm-hmm. there are coccidia vaccines that are made for laying hens, there are ones that are made for broilers, and they don't all necessarily contain the same strains of coccidia. So I would want to take a look at that. But no, it's not a bad idea. I don't know what they charge for it. I have no idea. Those are some of the things you're going to do. You can't raise birds on wire. The way that works is the same way it would work if you had birds in a brooder and you were using medicated feed. They must have access to their own droppings in order to perpetuate the vaccine strains of coccidia in order to build immunity. That's all it's about. If you go in and you medicate them, the vaccines are generally, I know the one I sell is, very sensitive to the medications, and if you're not careful, you can negate the whole thing and you'll be left with birds that have no immunity whatsoever. So it is a judgment call. I would suggest that if you've not really had a problem with coccidiosis, don't invite a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Okay. I mean, even for myself, if I have birds and I'm not, you know, medicating on any kind of regular basis for coccidiosis, I don't think I would invite the problem in.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And like you said, this is a question on Facebook. We're getting over to Facebook now, and where coccidiosis is really animal-specific. If a dog has it, can't give it to the chickens. Chicken can't give
yep.
it to the dog. Goat can't give it to a chicken, and vice versa.
Yep.
It's all animal-specific. Okay, I know you don't like to contradict vets, things like that, so I'm asking you this to see if maybe you can suggest something else or have maybe another theory or go down a different road. Christine on Facebook asks, I gave my chickens... I gave my chickens tetroxy HCA-280.
Yeah, it's oxytetracycline. Tetroxy is just a trade name. Oxytetracycline
gotcha.
Is the active ingredient in it.
Gave it to her chickens for 10 days as prescribed. Did not help. If anything, they sound worse. They have been diagnosed with Mycoplasma MG. Before I gave them the antibiotics, they remained steady with the electrolytes and VetRx. Any suggestions?
Yeah. More than likely, what you're experiencing is a resistance to the drug. The drug has been around for a zillion years. Now, I'll drop a big bombshell on all of you here now.
Mm-hmm.
Hold your fingers over your ears. That is the same active ingredient as terramycin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And... I don't remember. Hang on a second here. Let me see what kind of junk I got laying around here. I know I got a broken bag of this stuff somewhere. But I used to sell this. Pardon the noise.
No problem.
Anyway, I'm not sure if the tetroxy by itself is as strong as the Oxytet 343. just can't remember. But if it is, the problem is there's more filler in the bag. You want to buy an Oxytet that doesn't have so much filler in it, because even if you put 2 teaspoons of it in there, you're still not getting as much as you would have put in from a bag that doesn't have as much filler. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you.
Yeah.
Okay. If she might know, she might have it in her hand. I have 100 of these bags broken here somewhere. I know I do. Yeah, maybe I throw them out. Anyway, for instance, the Oxytet concentrate, at least the one that I'm selling right at the moment, it has. Well, I can give you a good idea here. Hang on 1 second. This will tell you what I'm doing here. This has 280 grams total weight. Okay, but there's 102.4 grams of active ingredient in there. So when you put 2 teaspoons of that in a gallon of water, you're going to be doing a lot more than a package that has the same amount of active ingredient in it but has twice as much weight. Okay, now I'll give you an example. Here's another one. This is a bag of oxytetracycline concentrate. It's even supposedly further concentrated. But here's the catch. The bag's much, much bigger. It has 512 grams of oxytetracycline in it, okay? But the bag weighs 1,400
right.
grams.
Mm-hmm.
So there's twice as much filler as there is active ingredient. Again, you take 2 teaspoons of that, and you're probably not going to be as much as if you had the smaller bag, because the smaller bag only has, 100 grams or so of inactive ingredient in it. So it's a numbers game, all of this stuff. And, I highly recommend, the bag that is smaller rather than the bag that seems like it's so much bigger and seems like it's so much more of a bargain, but it's not at the end of the day. Generally, you get what you pay for. Now, getting back to her actual situation, did she actually say how much of that stuff she was putting in a gallon of water?
She did not, no.
Okay. For instance, I had somebody the other day, I'll just give you an example. They had gotten some duramycin at one of the farm stores, okay? And the duramycin is tetracycline, which is a sister drug to the oxytetracycline. And no problem with it as far as the drug is concerned, but it is in the same boat as the old teramycin, 6.4 ounces, 181.4 grams total weight, 10 grams of activity in the bag. So you got 171.4 grams of nothing. Okay? And then to put on top of that, when I asked how much are you using, okay, it was, if my memory serves me correctly, it was 1/8 of a teaspoon per gallon of water. Well, my Lord, no wonder they're not getting well. They'll never get well at that rate because that's nothing. You say you're putting in 1/8 of a teaspoon of 181.4 grams. It only has 10 grams of real good juice in it. Forget it. It's like putting one drop of lemon juice in a 16-ounce glass of water and calling it lemonade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the problem with all of this kind of stuff. So I would suggest that if she
Cheap plug. You're not going to get that information from the big box store.
Nope.
Or most places anywhere. So here, you're getting the honest truth. Hey, look, this one may be cheaper, but it's really not. And this one has this, and this is the percentage of this, and this is going to be better for your chickens to get them cured than this, even though it may have the same name or the same ingredient.
Yeah. And I would suggest that if this person would like to, that she could communicate with me in an email. All of the people that I've asked to communicate today need to just put in the body of the email somewhere that they had either called in or whatever.
Okay.
Got off it. So I know what I'm dealing with, because I'm not going to charge these folks. This is something I just want to do. I will help them with these three particular issues that we were just talking about.
Right.
But I'd like to know, and it has nothing to do with the veterinarian. He might have told her to put the whole bag in a gallon of water. I don't know what he did. But, and it has nothing to do with the fact either that he is a veterinarian, and I'm not going to contradict him. But
right.
I can tell you,
right.
If they've been diagnosed with the mycoplasma, I have a problem, a product here that will mitigate that thing pretty quick.
Perfect.
Okay?
I'm going to...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to wrap it up with just two more. I hate to leave people hanging, but I know we need to run, and also I'm trying to pick the best ones over from our Facebook page. That we've kind of beat this. We've beaten this dead horse many a times, but since it was asked, I don't think it can be asked too much or answered too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Tina from Facebook asked, how long after treating with Wazine 17 is it safe to start consuming the eggs? Also, what other wormer do you recommend? Now, a lot of long-time listeners can probably answer this right off the bat, because we've beaten this dead horse many times. But again, new listeners, new questions, and I think this is one that so common that we can go ahead and touch on it real quick.
Yeah, the problem comes with any medication. Once birds start producing eggs for human consumption, other than the Ampryl powder or the Ampryl liquid, there's nothing you can use and then supposedly legally eat the eggs. Now, we all know everybody does it all over the place. Everybody's got their own opinion. But that being said, I've always felt and still continue to feel obligated to tell people what the deal is, and they have to make up their own mind and bear the responsibility of any consequence that may come from doing so themselves. There is no withdrawal time established, so therefore you're flying by the seat of your pants. Now, I will tell you, if it were me and I was forced to worm birds with Wazine or anything else, I would wait 3 or 4 weeks, especially if the birds were good layers, okay? If they're not in production, it's no big deal. Then you can go ahead and do it. And I still don't even understand that, but well, that's another deal. But that's kind of the rule. You know, we've been over it before, as far as that's concerned. So it's you know, other wormers that I recommend. It depends on the type of worm problem. I strongly suggest that, and I have done this before many times, that folks become poop inspectors. You know, when you let your birds out in the morning, they get down off that roost and they run outside or over to the feeder or the water, get your stick, get your flashlight, start moving the manure around and looking for things that don't belong there.
Okay.
If you're not sure what shouldn't belong there, take a bird, put it in a little pen, and let it drop its dropping out on some clean paper or something and take a look at it that way. Start learning about the droppings, what they look like, what a good one looks like, you know, and so on and so forth. A good, strong dropping should be relatively dry. The color can be basically anything with a white cap on it. The white cap is the urine part of the dropping. But, you know, there are other wormers to use. But, again, you start running into the egg-eating issue. Valbazin is the one I recommend a lot to people. The Levasol just came back on the market about a month ago. That we have that for sale on the website, too. That's more specific to your gape worms and your capillary worms and that kind of thing. People who raise quail like it because they have a lot of problems with the gape worm. So that kind of answers that question, I think, pretty well.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, if that person has any further questions, they can always email me as well.
And we'll wrap it up with this one, and then I'll come back. I've got a couple that I'm going to answer myself here from Facebook. This is an interesting one. How do you tell, if there's a way, how do you tell how old a chicken is? For example, I'll go out and purchase a hen, and the seller says, oh, it's just a year and a half old, and she's laying wonderfully. Is there any way for me to really tell?
Not necessarily per se by just looking at the bird, but birds will bleach out as they lay eggs. You can usually tell the degree of production that a bird is in by the way they bleach out. The bleaching of the legs. The legs would not be bright yellow. They'll start to go into that lemon yellow. The beak will start to lose some of its color. All different places, the skin loses some color and everything else. So you can get a reasonable idea of at least where a bird is in production. You can judge it by egg size. You can look at the pubic bones in the back of the bird at where the vent is. The closer together those bones are, the less likely the bird is to be laying. Usually we used to like to say a two-finger spread. If the pubic bones are 2 fingers apart, They're probably in production. Doesn't mean they're going to lay an egg every day, but that means that they're probably in production. The brightness of the comb and everything else, but in actuality, a way to actually tell years is not necessarily doable. And I know this because I went through a friend of mine, and Andy, you have the information. I sent it to you about a year ago. You had asked me about it. He's got a Guinness World Book of Records for the oldest living chicken, and that still stands.
I post that picture on occasion whenever someone asks, well, I have a chicken who's 12 years old, or what's the oldest? And I'll always refer to that. I still have it right on my, right on the front page of my Facebook. I keep the file there.
Yeah, and they're kind of personal friends of mine, and they live up in the western north part of Maryland up here, and I help to a degree to help keep the bird going with some, you know, the Replimen and that kind of thing. The bird is quite fragile, and they've been, I don't know if they've been, I haven't talked to them in a while, but they were trying to get some offspring from him, and it always amazes me that they're great people, but it always amazes me. You wait till a bird's close to, you got one foot in a grave and the other on a banana peel, and you want to breed it, you know, or get some offspring out of it. I think, you know, why don't you think of this a little bit before this? Jeez. And, you know, to try to get semen from a bird that is, you know, 20 some odd years old. I forget even how old the damn bird was. It's pretty old, and it's doable if it had been kept up a little bit differently, but. To my knowledge, is still kicking, and they still hold the record at this point. And but a definitive age for that bird could not be determined in any way, shape, or form. I had looked at professors who are experts in DNA. We looked at all kinds of issues, and this is where I tried to help them with that. And what it came down to was affidavits from people who had actually worked on the bird and knew that the bird was alive at a specific period of time, and that's how it was actually identified. So in the long run, not really, but you can get some guidelines. The other thing I'll say about this, not to belabor the point, we've been through it before, is know your source of where you're buying your birds. That's more important than the age of the bird. I'd rather have a bird that was 5 years old and didn't produce a whole lot of eggs than have one that was 2 years old, sicker than a dog. And, I mean, you know, if you stop by to buy a bird and their place isn't as good as where you're going to take them, just get back in your car, tell them you've got diarrhea or something, and haul butt out of there and go.
Look at their water source, how nasty or dirty. Look at the conditions of the coop, the conditions of the other birds. Look in the corners. Are there any birds that are lethargic laying around there? Look at their biosecurity practices. I mean, I mean, just don't say, oh, I'd feel so bad, I'll go ahead and buy them. And then, and even if they look healthy, here's the key. When you get them back home, quarantine 30 days, quarantine 30 days.
Quarantine 30 days, too, and then go rough the bird up a little bit. I wouldn't be opposed to letting it run out of food and water for a day. It's not going to kill it. It might bring out something that's there, and all of a sudden, because many, many times people have quarantined birds for 30 days, according to the folks that I've dealt with, you know, the bird was okay, and then they put them in with the flock, and the stress of being in that flock brought out something that they didn't see before. Mm-hmm. So I'd stress them a little bit. I'd take them and take them out, handle them, put them back in the cage, let them run out of food and water for one day, and that's not going to hurt them at all. And if they start snotting from the nose or anything else, you've got a problem. But, I think that's the best answer that's available at this point in time, because we really tried to get some DNA stuff. I talked to a guy out in Arizona that was doing some stuff on some really funky stuff, and he told me, no, you're wishful thinking. So, he said, well, you know, we can tell you it's a chicken. I said, well, I already know that, you know. And That being said, but you can determine, you know, to some degree, the degree of lay and whether a bird is in production by the things that I had just said there. So that should hopefully answer that question best we can.
Very good. All right, hang on just a second. Let me check something else here. Okay, very good. All right, hey, thank you very much. I was seeing if there was anything else. If you have some questions, folks, as always, chickendr at firststatevetsupply.com. chickendr at firststatevetsupply.com. And if you have any questions, you can email them directly to him. But if you put in, like, in the subject line, Chicken Whisperer Show, that might be a good one for him to pin out. Say, hey, I had this question. In fact, I've got the one with the issue and the medication and the vet. She's already posted. I got her your email. She'll be a question. Yeah, she said. Anyway, she'll email you all that information.
Yeah, I'd be more than welcome, more than glad to have to help them.
That'll be fine. And then, of course, remember the emergency medicine kit, not just a first aid kit, but the medicine side of it, the treatment side, emergency medicine kit over at firststatevetsupply.com. And Peter, lots of folks in the chat room saying love Peter Brown. Thank you so much for all your time. Thank you for all the great advice. Love your show, the whole nine yards. So, and we can bottom line, I will say it, we can show him we appreciate that by heeding his advice, taking care of our birds, keeping them healthy, and we can do that also by supporting his store and getting things that we need anyway for our chickens. And so firststatevetsupply.com. Peter, thank you very much for joining us on this special Wednesday episode. We'll see you back on Monday.
My pleasure. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Great, great show, and we're going to be back. I've got a couple more to answer myself from our Facebook page when we return. Thank you so much for tuning in and staying with us today. Great show. And lots of information. If I tried to get to as many of you as I possibly could, there's still a couple on Facebook. I'll come back and answer. And remember, Peter is with us every single Monday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Very blessed to have him on every single Monday. So you can put that in your PDA, your iPhone, your calendar, whatever, and you can tune in every Monday here, get your questions asked. And if it's something off of Monday, then you can send him an email, chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com. ChickenDR at firststatevetsupply.com. If you'll put Chicken Whisperer in the subject line from today, he'll try to get to that and prioritize those. So we thank you for that, and we thank Peter from being on today. We'll return right after the short break. I've got a couple of answers from Facebook as well. So we'll see you soon here, folks. Stay with us.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Snap-Lock Chicken Coops, the American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double-wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. Snap-Lock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. So spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit snaplockchickencoops.com. Also available at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, a wonderful special Wednesday show, Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown, and got lots of questions from folks, and still had a few. If we didn't get to you, I apologize that we were limited on time with Peter, and you can feel free to send him an email, chickendr@firststatevetsupply.com. Even had a question from Christmas Chick. Did I just say Christmas? Alrighty, I hadn't played that in a little while, so we've got a whole collection of those. Enjoy that one. Alrighty, let me get back over here to Facebook. There was one that I wanted to personally answer here, maybe a couple. So let me get back over to our Facebook fan page where we had some folks ask some questions. Let me scroll down. Deborah asks, what is the best way to get your chickens off of commercial / GMO feed? And we've had this question come up before, Deborah, and I haven't got any definitive answers of how long your chickens would have to be off the commercial or / GMO feed before you could consider them cleansed and organic, if ever. We've asked this question before. Again, never got a definitive answer. I think if you wanted to go that route, the best thing would do is to just go ahead and transfer your chickens over to the organic feed. If you've got a good source for organic feed, if you have the deep pockets to afford the organic feed, and that's your goal and your lifestyle, and you want to choose to do that, then by all means, go ahead. But as far as having an answer that I've heard ever in the history of doing the show, we've asked this question several times. It just came up, I think, this week or last week. I haven't got an answer of how long after feeding, switching over to organic, would they consider it the GMO organisms out of their bloodstream, and where, if you could consider them ever being organic, even though you had started that, or if there would be even a difference in the eggs. Me and Dr. McCray, PhD, we've often mentioned that, and I've been, you know, it would be great if someone would fork the money up for a study, because I think one of the most important studies that anybody could do right now with this backyard poultry industry, as big as it is to basically start from scratch, order the same chicks from the same hatchery. When they arrive, get some that are vaccinated, some that are not vaccinated. Okay, 50-50. 25 that are vaccinated, 25 that are and 55 that aren't vaccinated. Say that 10 times. Start some on good old commercial feed, with GMO feed, with medicated starter. Start some other on organic feed, non-medicated, and go throughout to until they start laying eggs with commercial and GMO product to organic product. And then actually, once they've started laying, to test the eggs. I think that would be a phenomenal study that would be very beneficial to everybody out there. And then test the eggs for all different types of things, different types of chemicals, the cholesterol, the nutritional value, the vitamins, the amino acids, everything, omega-3s, based on all of that, vaccinated, not vaccinated, medicated starter, non-medicated starter, GMO, organic, and then test the eggs and see. And then share with the people. And then those folks like yourself can make the determination, at least with an educated study behind it, to say, okay, you know, based on the study of testing these eggs, in this study, that and explain how they did the study, it may not be worth the extra $35 a bag for organic feed. I know in Atlanta, it's about $32 to $35 a bag for organic layer. Or maybe you can find it for about $22 a bag versus, but even feed in the stores. I was at Tractor Supply and noticed that I think the Purina Leyena was $18 a bag, $17.99, and the Dewmore was just, I think, $3 less than that, maybe $14.99. It may have been on sale for about $13.49. But so three times maybe the amount cost-wise per bag, but at least the study would give you some justification whether you wanted to spend $30 a bag for feed based on the outcome. So I just wanted to share those different things with you. Deborah, we thank you for being a Facebook fan regarding there. Let's see, maybe scroll down here. Fred talked about mites. We've already talked about that on the show today. And, of course, Poultry Protector being an all-natural solution for your mites on your chickens, Fred, that would be a good alternative. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Here's the one I really wanted to answer. Amanda on our Facebook page, she says, I have a six-month-old hen that I hatched, and I bought 3 one-year-old Americana hens a couple of weeks ago. No eggs. They're fat and happy, free range, roost in the garden barn at night, hang out in the evergreen tree during the day. I've checked everywhere. No eggs. What is up with this? And so let me go ahead and kind of shed some light on the situation. Number one, you have a six-month-old hen that you've hatched out. So they're 6 months old. So you're looking at about 24 weeks, okay? So I wouldn't at this point be totally discouraged that they haven't started laying yet. She may not have started laying. You know, typically a lot of your commercial breeds, if you will, white leghorns, things like that, may even start laying as early as 17 or 18 weeks. We typically say around 20 weeks for the chickens, for the hens to start laying. But don't be surprised, some bantam breeds, other breeds, rare breeds, may wait until week 30 or so to actually lay. But somewhere between 20 and 24, 26 weeks, you may start seeing some eggs. So the fact that they're just 24 weeks old, or this one hen that you've got, you hatched out, is 24 weeks, I wouldn't be too concerned yet. They can have some serious hiding places of where they like to lay their eggs, and so maybe one day you'll stumble upon that. But at this point in time, with just being 24 weeks old, she may not have started laying yet. Now here, let me add to that why she may not have started laying yet. You also stated in your question that you have recently, or since then, have bought 3 one-year-old Americana hens and no eggs. So let me explain that to you. You could go out and purchase however many chickens you wanted to, 2, 3, 4, 10, from a very reputable, responsible breeder who has these chickens and have had these chickens, and they'll tell you, and they're telling you the truth, these chickens are laying great. I'm getting about an egg a day from every single one of them. They're laying great. As you can see, they're healthy, they're happy, free-range, organic feed, and they're laying wonderfully. You're going to be happy with these chickens, okay? You run around, you try to catch them. That's a little stressful to them. You throw them in a cage, you drive them down the road to your place, and then you get to your place. Hopefully you kept them quarantined for about 30 days like we talked about on today's show. But if that wasn't the case, if it's, you know, a day late, an hour short, and you didn't, okay, maybe you haven't had any disease issues or illness. But here's the key. now you've just put them in a new environment, and you had a chicken apparently already there in your backyard. So not only now, even the chickens that you got that were raised together will now have to establish a new pecking order, because the chickens you got and brought home may not have been the top chicken and the low chicken. It may have been the top and a few in the middle. So now they're going to have to not only reestablish the pecking order, but also the chicken that you had in your backyard is going to have to come into the mix, and they're all going to have to kind of reestablish this pecking order. A new environment, a new coop, oh, a different chicken we've never seen before. All this can stress a chicken tremendously. And when a chicken gets stressed, that's the first thing it's going to automatically turn off is the egg-making machine inside of them. And so I've told this to several people. I've done some house calls, one with a former CNN anchor that had me out because she we ended up finding out that she was spoiling her chickens a little too much. And so we got her on a good regimen of a good nutritionally balanced feed, reduced the treats tremendously, and about 2 weeks later they started laying, and they've been laying ever since. So it was an issue of a nutritional issue there and too many treats on her end, and we solved that problem wonderfully. And all that's on video that she taped being a former CNN anchor. And now she's doing her own gig. But so I'm not surprised that you've got this chicken that you've hatched out, this hen, and it's 6 months old, just 24 weeks, and may not even be laying yet. And one issue of that, and the other one-year-olds, same issue. They've been stressed. I don't know how you've had them or since you moved them there. I think you said 2 weeks ago. Let me see. Yep, it's been a couple of weeks ago, and they still haven't had any eggs. So that's the issue. Now, the good/bad news is we will assume that they will start laying for you shortly. Okay, but it could be, I tell folks, anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months before you may start seeing eggs. They become comfortable with their housing, they're comfortable with you, comfortable with their surroundings, comfortable with the other chickens. The days are getting actually shorter now, so you're kind of going into an area. They may start molting. This may be, if they're a year old, this may be one of their first. Well, they molt several times from the time they're chicked to the time they start laying, about four times, I believe. But, you know, they may go, once they turn a year old, they may have their annual molt. So they may start going into molt now. They may, with the shorter days, need some additional light. They also, with the cooler temperatures, all this can play a factor. So do I think something's wrong with your chickens? No. I'm just giving you a lot of these things based on your question here of why they may not be laying yet. Keep looking around because they'll find some really good hiding places for their eggs. So keep looking. But if I had to guess right now based on what you've told me, and all the circumstances that are in your question, they're probably not laying yet, and it could be 3 weeks to 3 months. And then we're looking at, again, the fall short days, the cool temperatures. So, you know, it may be even a little longer than normal before you start seeing some eggs. So nothing's out of the ordinary here. We hear this a lot, and you should start getting eggs eventually from your chickens and start loving those wonderful breakfasts from your chicken's egg. So she's got laying boxes, no predators, they live basically a carefree life. And it sounds wonderful, but none of this stuff that you're causing is just the circumstances of their life so far, joining the two flocks just 2 weeks old, now they're at a new place. The stress factor has gotten them in. So continue giving them that carefree life. The more relaxed they can be and happy, the sooner they're going to be laying eggs for you. So we just wanted to get that answered for you as well. So let's see here. If there's any others that I... here's a goat. Can coccidiosis be passed from a chicken to a goat? We answered that already on the show, and I posted that on Facebook as well. So let me get back over here to the wonderful, wonderful chat room. And there we go. So we just want to answer a few more. Hey, remember, tomorrow here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, we've got Richard Frudenberger. After 715 episodes, over 4 years of broadcasting, one of my favorite shows, especially now that we live on a homestead and practice a lot of what he preaches. Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, will be joining us tomorrow. And the topic's going to be freezing produce for storage. We do this here. We do it every season after the garden and while the garden's producing. Freezing produce for storage. That is tomorrow's episode with Richard Fudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Hope you can join us tomorrow. This coming up Fun Friday, every Fun Friday, we sit back and relax. Not a whole lot of education going on here Friday, but we have trivia questions, movie trivia, food trivia, chicken trivia. We just have a real good time with that, and I give lots of prizes away from our sponsors on Friday, so we hope you can join us. Also, another huge, huge reminder, this coming Monday, October the 1st, can you believe it's October already? I mean, holy cow, next thing you know, it's going to be, what, Christmas? Along. Oh, me. But like I said, coming up, can you believe it, this Monday, October the 1st? But guess what? We've got not one, but two chicken coop contests. Now, again, I have posted on the Facebook page yesterday a little bit of the details. One chicken coop contest, we already know, is going to be password collection chicken coop contest. So basically what that means is every weekday, Monday through Friday, there will be no passwords issued on the weekends, Saturday or Sunday. But every weekday, Monday through Friday, I will announce the secret password on the radio show. We will also post it on Facebook. We will also post it on Twitter. And then on Halloween, October 31st, we will actually have, during this contest, for the password collection, if you're the right caller on Halloween, live on the radio show, if you're the right caller, say caller number 43, and you can recite live on the air all of the secret passwords that were posted, then you're going to win that awesome chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. And, of course, if you win that contest, you have your choice of three different. You could choose the salt box, the four square, or the bungalow. So you've got kind of your choice there. The other contest, which will hopefully over the weekend, we will release the details of that, again, where everybody can participate, whether you listen live, listen to the archive, follow us on Facebook, do Twitter. We will have another, also, two chicken coops in October. The pardon me. We're giving away the Snap-Lock chicken coop, the plastic chicken coop that we add on the show. Chicken Whisperer approved as well. And is the Snap-Lock chicken coops with an S, snaplockchickencoops.com. And we'll release all, and again, that one also, you will not have to actually call in for that contest because we want to make sure that everybody can participate. But we unprecedented giving two chicken coops away in the month of October. Very proud of that. Very excited for that. And we appreciate you for participating. So that's what we've got going on coming up for next week as well. Let me see, also the first week of September. Let's see. So the first will be, of course, all the big coop contests will start. And we got Peter Brown, the chicken doctor. Tuesday looks like it will be open. Wednesday will be Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Thursday the 4th will be Poultry Today with Dr. McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, and another Fun Friday on the 5th. So Tuesday next week is the only open day, and we'll do what we can do to change that around the next few days. So thank you very much for tuning in today. It was such a pleasure to have Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, on today. And if you're interested, head on over to his website, firststatevetsupply.com. You can send him an email, tell him you thank for coming on the show. Thanks for all the great advice. And don't forget, he's got that brand new released emergency medicine kit that you can get $24.95. What a great value. And we hope you have a wonderful day. We hope you'll tune in tomorrow. Richard Frubenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine here, will be our guest on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Hope you have a wonderful day, everybody, and we'll see you back here tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Take care, everybody. Thank you.